a number of friends here from COB, from the Bible Institute down there, as well as folks that never went to COB. As I have taught in the various annual classes that we do, I have had a number of folks from this church come, and I have greatly enjoyed them. We are this morning in Philippians chapter 4. And our Father, we ask your blessing as we fellowship around your word. It's a good word. We thank you for it, giving us direction, guidance in life, letting us know about you, the true and only God. Thank you. And bless the time we spend in Sunday school. May it be profitable. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 3, and then, as time permits, verses 14 to the end of the chapter. We are omitting 4 through 13. That's what you're going to have for the morning service. Verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul had a special place in his heart for the Philippian church. It may be that that's why this is my favorite epistle. But notice the terms of endearment. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, my dearly beloved. A very special place in Paul's heart this church had. And just as a little bit of background, do you remember three incidents that happened when Paul visited Philippi the first time? Three incidents. Okay, the Philippian jailer with the earthquake and the jailer getting saved and his household. Two more events. Do you remember why Paul and Silas were in prison?
They cast a demon out of a girl who was telling fortunes.
Exactly. So that's incident number two. And the first one, the conversion of Lydia and her household. Very special times. And you know, with regard to the a Philippian jailer, and all of that. You remember that Paul and Silas were beaten. They were whipped. And then, backs bloodied, they were put into prison. The next morning, they received word Paul could be freed. Paul said, We were beaten and put in prison, being Romans. Being Romans. Romans were not to be beaten without a trial. But that's what had happened. And so Paul said, let the men who ordered our whipping, let them come and bring us forth out of prison. And have you ever wondered why Paul didn't say the day before, we are Romans, and not get the beating? He lets it be known the next day, after having taken the beating. Why didn't he say it the day before and avoid the beating? Yeah. And why did he have the men who ordered the beating come and bring him out of prison?
Put the fear of God into them, not to beat anybody else.
Well, I think it related to the treatment of the Philippian church. A new church started, and they might suffer persecution, but knowing that they had beaten Paul unadvisedly, perhaps they would be a little more careful in their treatment of the Philippian church. In other words, treat them fairly. Whereas, had Paul declared himself a Roman the day before, avoided the beating and all, after Paul left, they might have, if anyone wanted to persecute the church, they might have let that happen. But this way, I think Paul did it so the church would be treated fairly. And that's all he hoped for. Another thing, the baptism of the Philippian jailer. When did that take place? Answer, at nighttime. The earthquake was at midnight, and then Paul gave the word of God to the family. They got saved, and then they went down maybe to the same place where the women, where Lydia and the other women had met for prayer. They went down there and had a baptism service, and it appears to have been at nighttime. Now, we believe in baptism by immersion, right? We believe in baptism by immersion, right? Oh, marvelous. Second time never fails. All right. Now, here is Paul, and at this point, at the point of the jailer's baptism, who is Paul? He is a prisoner. And so here is the prisoner, and he takes the jailer, and he baptizes him, holding him under water. And it's nighttime. There were torches along the shoreline for a little ways. But it would have been very easy for the prisoner to have escaped. That jailer showed a whole lot of faith, did he not? All right. Paul loved this church. A very special church. The first church in Europe to receive Christ as Savior at Paul's ministry. And he calls the church my joy and crown. He is thinking, not only now you are my joy, but he is thinking about when Jesus comes. And I can present you to him, my joy and crown. I wonder, we have at my church a thing we do from time to time, hymn of the month. We learn a new hymn and sing it each week for the month so that we learn it. And the latest hymn of the month we did was, Must I Go and Empty-Handed? Paul would not have to go empty-handed. The Philippian church, his joy and crown. I wonder if we'll have to go empty-handed. Verse number 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Here are two women, apparently believers, but they are having trouble getting along. Now, of course, we never have that difficulty in our churches. We get along with just everyone all the time. A perfect church. Oh my. I've heard it said that a church is perfect only up to the point where you join it. Yeah. There are times when Christians have trouble getting along. This was written by Paul. Remember, Paul and Barnabas had a problem whether to bring John Mark on the second missionary journey? So Paul knew what it was like, people not getting along or having a problem. So he says, I beseech, I plead with the two of you, Euodias and Syntyche. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Get along together. You know, it's strange, but sometimes we have different opinions. And have you ever noticed when your opinion differs from someone else? I would say almost invariably, we believe our opinion to be right. Like we've never been wrong in our lives, right? Yeah. But somehow, this time, I'm right. I don't know, men, if you've ever had a disagreement with your wife. But if you have, guess who was right? And she'll let you know that too. For Christians to get along, to be of the same mind in the Lord. In the Lord. You know, as we draw closer to the Lord, we draw closer also to one another. These two perhaps need to draw a little closer to the Lord. Verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, that is, people who have helped Paul in his ministry, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Wonderful thing. Our names in the book of life. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, do you realize you were chosen before the foundation of the world? Chosen before the foundation of the world. And your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And when you were born, came into this world, and so on, the triune God did their part in bringing you to faith in Jesus, and you trusted him as your Savior. And can you fall? Can you lose your salvation? Answer, no. Why? Well, for one thing, when we trust Christ as Savior, we are given eternal life, not conditional life. Eternal life. And secondly, the Lord didn't write your name and choose you before the foundation of the world, only to let you mess it up. We are kept by the power of God. God you see, some people think God saves us and then we kind of need to keep ourselves saved. No, if that were the case, we would have big, big problems. God saves us and God keeps us saved. That's security. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. All right, now drop down to verse 14. Paul says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Epaphroditus carried a gift from the Philippian church to Paul. And there's a mention of that in verse 10 as well as in Chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. Epaphroditus, he's the messenger who was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, restored him. He went to Paul, ministered to Paul, brought the gift. And I mentioned how there was a bond of love between Paul and this church. And I think verses 15 and 16 help explain that. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." We know what it is for a church to support a missionary. And I hope your church supports missionaries. I'm sure it does. And the Philippian church chose to support Paul and help him. Look at verse 16. "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." This is the first church that caught the vision of supporting Paul. And in Thessalonica, they sent two gifts while Paul was in Thessalonica. Now, if you would turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. When Paul left Philippi, the next place that he ministered the gospel in was Thessalonica. And chapter 17, verse 2 tells us he ministered the gospel in the synagogue there. How long? 3 weeks. 3 weeks he ministered the gospel there. And then the Jews who didn't believe got a bunch of rowdies together and chased Paul out of town. So if Paul was there for three Sabbaths, it would be safe to say he was there for less than a month. But in that period, the Philippian church sent two different offerings to him. They loved Paul, and they caught the vision. They supported him. The Philippian church, the first church that supported Paul. A good church. Now, would you turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians, chapter 8. Beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And Philippi was in Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at those words, poverty, liberality. Keep them in mind. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. This particular gift was a gift Paul was taking to the poor saints at Jerusalem. And the Philippian church wanted to be included, even though they were poor. Not a wealthy church by any means. And so verse 4, Paul writes and says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. When you have a very poor person and the offering plate is passed, they put in a dollar. Well, they didn't give much. But if they are really poor, a dollar may have been much. You remember the widow's mite? Here, instead of the dollar, the Philippian church gave $10, $20. to go toward the ministering to the poor saints at Jerusalem. And apparently, Paul entreated them. No, you don't have to give this much. You guys have so little to begin with. You don't have to give such a large gift. But they said, we want to, please take it. That's giving the way it should be, isn't it? And that's what Paul did. Look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves to the Lord. That's the key, isn't it? If you give yourself to the Lord, then all that you have is the Lord's. And you're very willing to give generously. The love of the Lord is a great motivator in giving. Remember Mary with her alabaster box of ointment worth 300 pence? Used it to anoint Jesus, wiped his feet, the lowest part of a man, wiped his feet with her hair. A woman's hair is her glory. She used her glory to wipe the least part of a man. Love, she knew how to give. Love is like that. And you know, strange to say, very often the best givers are the poor people. They sacrifice in giving, but they're willing to. Those that have sufficient funding, they are not always that generous, which is a sad thing. Now, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 9. Chapter 11, verse 9. Paul says, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. The brethren from Macedonia, probably the Philippian church. They continued, as they were able, to give. They gave to the poor saints at Jerusalem. They gave to Paul to help him in his ministry, Two gifts were sent while he was in Thessalonica. And then they sent this gift we read about in chapter 11, verse 9. The churches of Macedonia supplied Paul's need. The Philippian church was just a great, great church. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. Not because I desire a gift. He's saying, I'm not writing all this because I'm hinting around I need a gift. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When we give to the Lord willingly, joyfully, that is put to our account. It's a plus in heaven. It's not how much we give. It's the spirit in which we give. I don't know how much you give weekly. Some of you are retired and on Social Security. You may not have all that much. Some of you may have good jobs. You may have more. But what is your standard of giving? A lot of Christians use as their standard the tithe. That is the first tenth of your income. I don't know what your pastor teaches, but I teach my people that tithing is under the law. We're not told in the New Testament to tithe. In the Gospels, yeah, but remember, Jesus was under the law. Not until Jesus' resurrection are we under grace. And the instruction for giving there, that we are to give as God has prospered us, we are to give willingly, joyfully, cheerfully, not grudgingly. We're not to give grudgingly. That spoils the gift. I think, again, married couples can understand that. If your wife says to you, will you please do this particular job, whatever it is that she's asking for, and you reply, oh, I suppose so. Is that going to bring joy to her heart? It's not only what you do or how you give, it's the spirit in which you do it. If you give grudgingly, That does not honor the Lord. We are to give cheerfully. How much do we give? Give as much as you can give cheerfully. Which may be a tithe, it may be more than a tithe. For some of you, maybe you can't give 5% cheerfully. Then give less. What you can give cheerfully is what honors the Lord. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Of course, that's using the Old Testament sacrifice terms, isn't it? A sweet smell, a sweet savor. A sacrifice acceptable. And so it is. This Philippian church knew how to give. Verse 19. And with this we close. I am told that we're supposed to close at 10 after. I can go 5 minutes on verse 19. Marvelous. Look. But my God shall supply. Now, have we seen this word supply before? Answer, yes. The Philippian church supplied what was needed by Paul. And now, my God shall supply all your need. As you give joyfully to the Lord, the Lord somehow, some way, makes sure that you have enough. God intends for us to be a channel through which money can flow, money to help people. And it's been my experience that as I give to the Lord and as I seek to help people financially, somehow, God makes up that difference. He does it in different ways at different times. But He does. I may have told this story before, but if I have, it's worth telling again. My wife and I needed a car, and we sat down and looked at our finances and decided that we could not go above $9,100. That is all we could sink into a car. Well, we went to the car dealer. We saw a car there that we thought was just right. But the guy would not lower the price any more than $98.50. Now you say, well, that was pretty close. But 91 was all that we could do. So we thanked him very much. But thanks, but no thanks, you know. Went home. And we were just $750 short. But to us, that was a significant amount of money. Too much to get that car with. While I opened the door, my wife got the mail from the mailbox. We went in the front room, sat down, opened the mail. There, in an envelope from the school department, she was a paraprofessional. There was a check. We had never before gotten a check from the school department in the summertime. And I forget why we got one this time, but we did. For $756. So we called him up and explained what had happened and got that car. Got that car and we had $6 for gas. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory. He can direct into our pathway whatever we need. And when we need it. Hopefully you have experienced that. And I have too. God is good. So we have lessons here. A particular love that Paul had for this church because they were the first church to catch the missionary vision and they knew how to give. But it was not a perfect church. There were a couple of ladies that were at one another and Paul pleaded with them, learn to get along in the Lord. Father, I thank you for the things that we have looked at during the Sunday school time. I pray that it may have found its nesting place in our hearts. And now prepare our hearts for the rest of this chapter as we prepare to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.